Welcome back to No Flags, No Filter. I'm your host, William Masucci.
I'm Brett Jenks.
And today in episode 5, we'll be breaking down everything that happened in this week 4 of the NFL season. It was a crazy one, so stay tuned, sit back, and relax. All right, so to start off, we're going to be going through our game-by-game recaps. Obviously, we're going to be starting with last week's Thursday night game where we had Seattle traveling to Arizona and what was a close NFC West showdown. I think what this game showed is that these two teams are still going to compete for the NFC West. Honestly, I think that the Rams have shown that they're definitely the best team in the NFC West right now, but I think it's really going to be a three-team race for that second spot in the NFC West, which I'm presuming will be a wild card spot. This game, I think Sam Darnold really, really looked good. Jackson Smith and Jigbo really looked good. On Arizona's side, Kyler Murray continues to just – he's doing what he needs to do, but he's not really elevating the game. He's just kind of managing the game, which I'm hoping to see some better stuff from Kyler for sure. But, yeah, I think that this is showing that Seattle and Arizona are both very good teams. This was a very close game. And I think there's going to be two teams to watch for the rest of the year in the NFC.
Yeah, it was kind of a – it was a weird game back and forth. It didn't really – wasn't too interesting. Marvin Harrison Jr. had a lot of storylines for this game, and you could say he delivered, and you could also say he didn't perform. I don't know what this means for either team. I mean, this is an NFC West showdown. Seattle can do something. I think the Rams are going to win it, but both these teams, I think, are better than the 49ers, even though the record doesn't say so. I feel like the 49ers, they have the worst point differential out of any team right now in the NFL. And I feel like both Seattle and Arizona can both be atop of them on the NFC West.
100%. Now moving on to the Sunday slate of games, we're starting up with our second international game of the year, our first Europe game of the year. We had the Minnesota Vikings traveling to play the Pittsburgh Steelers in Dublin, Ireland. And what was a pretty exciting game. I mean, these seem to be, from the get-go, two pretty evenly matched teams. I think what we are continuing to see with Minnesota is Carson Wentz is doing a better job of managing the Kevin O'Connell offense than J.J. McCarthy was. And I'm not saying that as a knack to J.J. McCarthy. I mean, Carson Wentz is just much more experienced, and I think he's really looked like he's still a capable NFL quarterback. On the other hand, I want to talk about Pittsburgh for sure. I mean, that Arthur Smith offense looks really good this year. It looks really good so far. Aaron Rodgers looks somewhat like his old self. He ripped off an 80-yard touchdown pass to DK Metcalf. Pittsburgh's O-line has actually been holding up really well. They have a nice zone blocking scheme. Pittsburgh really got going in the run game this Sunday. You know, the surprise Jalen Warren being a healthy scratch, you know, really messed up a lot of people's fantasy lineups. But Kenneth Gainwell came in there, and he looked really, really good. Really good. Went for almost 100 rush yards, had some nice receiving yards, had a touchdown. And this Pittsburgh offense is something that I'm getting pretty excited about now. I think that Kenneth Gainwell really could be their guy, that they finally found their true starting running back for that offense. And I think Pittsburgh is going to be pretty good this year. And, yeah, I can't say I'm very surprised with the result of this game. I kind of had Pittsburgh pulling it off from the get-go.
Yeah, Kenneth Gainwell, 99 yards, 2 rushing touchdowns. Aaron Rodgers went 18 of 22 for 200 yards and a touchdown. The Steelers just looked much better on offense today than they had the past weeks. I don't know what it is with J.J. McCarthy and Kevin O'Connell. They might have to figure each other out more, but Carson Wentz is looking better in his system than J.J. McCarthy is. He was sacked 6 times and did throw 2 interceptions, but he threw 2 touchdowns. He threw 350 yards, and they almost came back to win. So you can look that either way you want. And then the Steelers just had a better, they held on late game and closed it out, even though it was getting scary at the end. Minnesota could have won the game if they limited their turnovers, but they didn't, so they lost the game.
100%, I totally agree with that. All right, now moving on to the 1 o'clock slate of games. Starting off, we had the Washington Commanders traveling to Atlanta to play the Falcons, and I mean, it's kind of crazy because that looked like a totally different Falcons team week to week. I mean, how do you go and get blown out by the Carolina Panthers, get shut out, and then go and put up the kind of numbers all around that the Falcons did this Sunday? I mean, I think that game really was like showing the true potential of this Atlanta offense, and it's setting the bar really high now. Now, what I want to see with the Falcons is, can they consistently find that production on offense? I mean, Michael Penix had a great game, 20 of 26 for 313 yards, 2 touchdowns. Bijan had a great game, almost 200 total yards. He was a 100-yard receiver and almost a 100-yard rusher. Drake London had a great game, 110 receiving yards. Kyle Pitts had a great game, 70 receiving yards and a touchdown. I mean, that really seemed to be like the culmination of what the Falcons offense wants to be. Now, can they do it consistently? And on the other hand, Washington, I mean, I know that the score makes the game look pretty close, but the game was never really that close. Atlanta was up by multiple scores for the majority of the game until the end. Marcus Mariota continues to look solid. I know that was his last game filling in for Jaden Daniels, but he proved to be a capable backup. Debo Samuel looked really good on Sunday. He caught that late touchdown pass on fourth down from Jaden Daniels, and I think that the Commanders still got it. I think now that they got Jaden Daniels and Terry coming back, they'll still be a force in the NFC. But, yeah, I'm really happy with what I saw from Atlanta this weekend.
Yeah, Marshawn Lattimore forgot how to guard players. Their defense is not where it needs to be right now. Dan Quinn needs to step that up. You're playing a backup quarterback with one healthy receiver, no real running back, and no real O-line. There's got to be an asterisk next to this win for the Falcons a little bit. Like, this is not a healthy Commanders team. This is not the same Commanders team as last year. So, I mean, they looked good, but they also were not playing against the best team. I mean, the Commanders were really good last year, and it's not looking like they're going to be the same team this year. A win against the Broncos, someone like that, would say a lot more than beating the Commanders like this.
100%. And now moving on to the Bills playing the Saints. This game wasn't necessarily as – it was a lot closer than I thought it would be. I think New Orleans, they're obviously very bad, but they're continuing to look like a really scrappy bad team. They're kind of staying in games. Buffalo, on the other hand, I mean, they definitely had some – they had some miscues on offense, I think. Josh Allen really had to lean on his dual threat ability. He had to rush for scores, and he kind of had to – he really had to run the ball a lot. His weapons didn't play great. Dalton Kincaid, I do want to shout out, had a really great game. And on the other hand, with the Saints, Spencer Rattler has continued to look not that bad, honestly. He had a late passing touchdown, and the Saints' run game with Alvin Kamara and Kendre Miller continues to look pretty capable. And I think what really shifted this game, I think the Saints really had a shot, but Buffalo managed to capitalize on that roughing the passer penalty, and they got for that favorable field position and won.
Yeah, that's the big controversy with this game, is that roughing the punter. Buffalo's the only 4-0 team in the AFC now. They scored 10 straight unanswered points to win the game. I don't like how the game went for them. They won the game, so it doesn't matter. But I don't know if this is like a trap game, like, and they just pulled it out. And like, there's no alarms ringing in the Bills locker room, like, we need to get it together. But the Bills, I mean, they're the Bills. They have discipline. They use their depth. And the Saints tried. They got that early lead, and then they just didn't do anything down the stretch. So it just shows how consistent Buffalo always is and how the Saints are the Saints. And they're not consistent, and they don't have a good team. And that's why they lost the game.
All right, now moving on to the Cleveland Browns traveling to play the Detroit Lions in what is obviously a not very evenly matched game. The Lions' offense has continued to look pretty good ever since week one. I mean, after week one, we were really questioning, like, are they going to be missing Ben Johnson? Now the past 3 weeks, I mean, that big win against the Ravens last week, it just looks like they haven't really missed a beat. They went up and put up another 30-plus point game against the Browns. Jared Goff didn't really even have to do much. Jahmyr Gibbs, I want to shout out, played a great game. What I do want to see is, can David Montgomery really pick it up on the ground? I mean, 9 carries for 12 yards, it's not very good. And Detroit's defense looked pretty good this game. I mean, at the end of the day, it is Joe Flacco and the Browns. I don't really even think Joe Flacco even has a true number one wide receiver. I don't think Jerry Jeudy's that good. I don't think Isaiah Bond's that good. I do think Quinshon Judkins has looked pretty good so far. But at the end of the day, this is the Browns. No surprise the Lions won this one.
Yeah, this is the game we expected from the Lions. They needed to have just a blowout win from a bad team. They've done it 2 weeks in a row. And they were feeling good. I mean, Ben Johnson made the offense better, and they're not really missing him right now. It's the same kind of offense, I feel. They might try to prioritize Jahmyr Gibbs more in the future right now. David Montgomery might be losing his step. He might just be goal line only and just get 2-3 yards for the touchdown. The big play was that big punt return by Cleve Raymond in that 65-yard punt return in the fourth quarter, and then Amon-Ra had that touchdown pass to extend the lead, and then it just went from there. Detroit just dominated in every phase of the game, all three phases. I mean, offense, defense, special teams. the Browns didn't have anything to do in the second half, especially on offense or on special teams, and it showed. So expect this Lions team to win the NFC North.
100%. I think we've seen a total turnaround from the Lions, and on the other hand, a sort of a collapse from the Packers the last couple weeks.
100%.
In that NFC North division. All right, now moving on to the Carolina Panthers traveling to the New England Patriots. And what, I mean, Carolina coming off that big win against the Falcons, maybe they got a little too excited and they just didn't look prepared at all this game. They really didn't. Bryce Young has continued to look. For some reason, Bryce Young just plays well against the Falcons, and then all the 31 other teams in the NFL, he plays awful. I mean, and Bryce Young is just proving time and time again that he is not a great quarterback. I mean, and on the other hand, Andy Dalton actually came in and played really well at the end. So, I know that it was late in the game, but Andy Dalton looked really good when he came in. So, I know he got benched last year for Andy Dalton. Maybe it'll happen again. Who knows? Now, with the Patriots, on the other hand, Drake May has continued to just look really good this year. He had almost a perfect passer rating this game. And he played phenomenal. I mean, 14 of 17 for 203 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. New England's O-line has looked really good. Will Campbell is already looking like an elite tackle. Their O-line only gave up 1 sack on Drake May on Sunday. This is finally, I think, like a great debut for Stephon Diggs on the Patriots. 100-yard receiving game. He looked like that true, reliable number one guy for Drake May that he has really needed. And just the Patriots' defense has continued to look really good. That defensive front was getting a lot of pressure on Bryce Young, even though they only sacked him once, and really forcing him to make some errant throws. On Carolina's side, Tetroa McMillan he's continued to look like probably the best rookie wideout. He still doesn't look – he's had some questionable drops and stuff like that, but, I mean, that is to be expected with a rookie. But, I mean, I'm not really surprised that New England won this game. Carolina just did not play well at all.
Yeah, I'm excited with what Mike Vrabel's doing up in – New England. It should be exciting. I think Bills, New England game, whatever that game will be, those will be two good games to watch, especially for the AFC East if the Patriots can start to get up to the amount of wins the Bills have and make it competitive. The Panthers scored first in that game, but then they just lost all momentum they had in an 87-yard punt return touchdown for New England, and then that started just domination by the Patriots. You said Drake May, yeah, Drake May was perfect. 2 touchdowns, 14 to 17, 203 yards. Bryce Young had a rushing touchdown. He just couldn't do anything. Like the first drive, it looked like he was playing against the Falcons, and then the Patriots realized that we can stop him anytime we want. So then they decided to stop him, and then they did such. So great game from Stephon Diggs, great game from Drake May. I need to see more of a running game from New England, maybe. I don't know, but I think this is a great game from New England overall.
100%. Now moving on to the Los Angeles Chargers traveling to New York to play the Giants in what was the debut of the Jackson Dart era in New York. I think Jackson Dart played pretty well for his first start. You know, he proved to be really capable on the ground. He looked really good on the ground at Ole Miss, so no surprise with that transition to the NFL. He did what he needed to do through the air. He played really well, I think, for his first game, but there obviously was a big plus and a big minus for the Giants this game. Big plus, it looks like you found your guy in Jackson Dart. Big minus, you lost his number one receiver for the season with a torn ACL. And I think losing Malik Nabers is just an absolutely massive blow for the Giants. I mean, the offense kind of, in a sense, runs through that guy. I mean, he's proved to be a top five wide receiver in the NFL, and when you have a guy like that go down with an injury that's going to sideline him for the rest of the year and potentially into early next year, I mean, that's just a crushing blow. And on the other hand, Cam Scadabaugh has continued to look really capable, rushing for 80 yards on the ground this game. He looks really good, you know. He's really just been putting his body on the line, leaving it all out on the field. It's good to see. And on the other hand, with the Chargers, I'm starting to get really concerned about the Chargers' O-line. I mean, going into the season, their O-line looked like it was going to be elite. I mean, you got Joe Alt, Rashawn Slater. They brought in Mekhi Becton at guard, and guess what? All three of those guys are injured now. Joe Alt, high ankle sprain. Rashawn Slater out for the season. Mekhi Becton out a few more weeks. They had 4 backup linemen starting on Sunday, and, I mean, there's not really a surprise to me that the game ended in the fashion that it did. I mean, the Chargers are obviously the better team. Justin Herbert had so much pressure in his face. He's not typically a guy who throws 2 picks in a game, and I think that speaks to the amount of pressure that he had on him. I do want to shout out Omarion Hampton, you know, 10 yards a carry. It's pretty impressive. He's starting to really look like that number one guy, and I think the Najee Harris injury is really helping his case. He's proving that he can be that lead back. And on the other hand, I think one of the great surprises of the NFL season thus far has been Quentin Johnston's production thus far. He's really, like, going into the season, you think, oh, he'll be, like, their wide receiver three, you know, after Keenan Allen and Ladd McConkey. And, you know, Ladd McConkey hasn't really done anything this year. But Quentin Johnston, on the other hand, has looked like LA's number one wide receiver. And I'm pretty excited about that. I'm not really concerned about Los Angeles this game. I'm just concerned about the O-line. And I think once they get Joe Alt and Mekhi Becton back, it'll look better. But definitely a concerning game for the Chargers.
Ladd McConkey has disappeared on the Chargers offense. I don't know what happened with that, but Quentin Johnston's looking like the TCU guy he was. I bet Keenan Allen's back to be happy to back to be in LA, but he's not doing too much. I mean, he had a good enough game, I guess. I think this game shows how much an O-line is impactful for the NFL game. If you can have an elite O-line or elite skill players, an elite O-line is a better. Average skill players can catch and run, but elite O-linemen can't. Average O-linemen can't give enough time like elite O-linemen can to get the ball open, get it to your players. This is not a game to freak out about Jackson Dart and how well he played. He did good enough. He played well. He's not crazy good. He's not crazy bad right now. It's just he played a solid game. He brought energy into MetLife. He brought energy, and that's what showed in the game. He had a 15-yard rushing touchdown, his first touchdown of his career, then had that shuffle pass. Dexter Lawrence had that 37-yard interception, almost got a pick six. It'd been fun to see Sexy Dexy in the end zone. Couldn't happen. And then the Giants just found a way to win with Jackson Dart at quarterback. I think they could have won this game either way if Russ was starting. I don't say this win is because of Jackson Dart. I say he's a bonus to this win. Like, it happened under Jackson Dart. But, I mean, with the D-line that the Giants have, they should have been able to win this game with any quarterback starting.
100%. All right, now moving on to a 4 o'clock window game. We had the Eagles traveling to Tampa Bay to play the Buccaneers. And, I mean, this game was definitely not as close as the score made it appear at the end. The Philadelphia Eagles were kind of blowing out the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for the majority of the game. And I think what really set the tone early in the game was, you know, Tampa Bay first drive goes 3-and-out. You're punting it away. And then punt gets blocked, literally perfectly bounces into Sidney Brown's hands and gets returned for a touchdown. And I think this Eagles team looked pretty good this game. But the one thing that I just can't get over is, like, why are they not throwing the ball to their weapons, continuing? I mean, A.J. Brown only had, what, 7 receiving yards this game, I think. Devontae Smith, 29 receiving yards. Your leading receiver is Dallas Goedert. I mean, what are you paying the two receivers $40 million for? Like, I can't get it across my head. I mean, I get that Jalen Hurts is not necessarily a very capable deep passer. He's more of a sort of short passes and then run the ball type quarterback. But, I mean, you got to get the ball to your guys. Philly's defense, on the other hand, they looked pretty good. I mean, they got a lot of pressure on Baker Mayfield. But Baker Mayfield he's an elite quarterback. He always looks decent. Baker Mayfield, I do want to shout out, played a pretty great game. Emeka Buka continues to look like, I think, offensive rookie of the year runaway so far. I mean, he had his first 100-yard receiving game, another touchdown. I mean, he's had, what, like 4 or 5 touchdowns already this year? Bucky Irving looked amazing as well. Bucky Irving went for 63 rushing yards, 102 receiving yards, and a touchdown. And I'm not worried about Tampa Bay. I just think that this proved that Philadelphia, as of right now, is the big dog in the NFC.
Yeah, I think the Buccaneers are going to win the NFC South for sure. They brought it back. They had that 77-yard touchdown to Mekhi Becton, which is crazy. I mean, a crazy throw. Baker threaded those two defenders, and then it's just a catch and run from there. I don't understand what Nick Sirianni's offense is doing. I can't wrap my mind around it. They're not efficient on offense at all. I mean, they can barely pass the ball. They could run the ball somewhat. Their most interesting play that game was the fake touch push when they just tossed out to Saquon for a free touchdown. I don't understand. I would look out for maybe A.J. Brown asking for a trade if this keeps up around middle of the season, because this would start to be unbearable, especially if you're being paid this much to just run routes and block for this team. I mean, you're being paid $40 million to block. I don't know why.
100%. They've just got to get the ball to their guys. And now moving on to a battle of 0-3 teams going into the game, we had the Tennessee Titans traveling to Houston to play the Texans. I think this just continued to prove that the Titans are, as of right now, a totally incompetent football team with incompetent coaching, and they're not very good. I'm not sure if any of you guys saw Cam Ward's post-game interview, but he literally said that the team is ass. So,
that tells you where they are.
I'm not really very surprised with the outcome of this game. I knew that the Texans were the better team coming into this game. The Texans had played their first three games very close. I think it is really time to panic on the Titans, specifically Brian Callahan. I do not think that he's a capable or competent NFL coach. I just really don't understand some of his decisions, some of his personnel decisions. And when you look at, like, the stat sheet, you look at who Cam Ward is throwing the ball to, he's got really nothing around him except for Calvin Ridley. And, I mean, Tony Pollard's okay. He's not great. But then he has old, washed-up Tyler Lockett and Van Jefferson and Chigga Okonkwo. I mean, there's just not much around him. Even Calvin Ridley isn't that great anymore. On the other hand, C.J. Stroud played a really great game. I think that was – you could argue that was one of his best games since his rookie year. It was against the Tennessee Titans. But, I mean, the Titans' defense has been pretty good this year. I mean
– solid, yeah.
They got Jeffrey Simmons up on that front. They got L'Jarius Sneed. I mean, they got some dogs on that defense. And I do want to shout out Woody Marks for Houston. He really stepped up.
Whew.
He looked great. I think he's going to be a great waiver wire ad for a lot of fantasy managers. And I think he really proved that he's better than Nick Chubb. I mean, he looked better in both the run game and the passing game. Nico Collins had his best game of the year for sure. I mean, he looked really good. He's still, obviously, his production is not living up to some of his expectations. And then also I want to highlight the Houston Texans edge duo continues to look really good. Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr. They combined for 2 sacks. Danielle Hunter had both of them, but Will Anderson had some nice pressures off the edge and a couple QB hits. So I don't think it's time to panic on the Texans. I think they're going to be all right.
I can see where that thought process comes in. I don't know if I have the Texans in the playoffs this year. I mean, they started 0-3, and no, I don't think any 0-3 team has ever made the playoffs before. But the Titans, yikes. Titans, it might be time to just sit back, relax, tank. Get someone in the draft. Get one of the best players in college football right now to get build around Cam Ward, because you can't be throwing the ball 7 times to another rookie and expect him to do a lot. You can't be throwing the ball to Tyler Lockett and expect a lot. You can't throw the ball to Calvin Ridley and expect a lot. And when you can't run the ball effectively with Tony Pollard, you can't do anything. I mean, their O-line is – I think they're supposed to be solid, right? I mean, it's I don't know. They're not helping their rookie quarterback out at all. I mean, you saw with Caleb Williams this first year in Chicago, they brought everyone over to try to help him. Besides an O-line, I mean, they had Romo Dunze come over. They had DJ Moore, and they had Keenan Allen. We had weapons around him to perform, and he didn't because he didn't have an O-line, which goes back to the O-line or skill. But this is not good by Brian Callahan, and he's in the hot seat for sure.
100%. I wouldn't be surprised if he's the first midseason firing this year. And now moving on to what was a very exciting game from start to finish. We had the 3-0 Indianapolis Colts traveling to play the 3-0 Los Angeles Rams. The 2-1 Los Angeles Rams. And this was just a very exciting game through and through. Matt Stafford, played just a phenomenal game. A phenomenal game. I really want to shout that out. He played, I think, the best game of any quarterback this week. And Puka Nacua continues to just look like he's just been an – I don't get it. He's just been a dominant wide receiver. He's popping off the stat sheet every week. He's the wide receiver one by a landslide in fantasy football. I think he really, as of right now, is the offensive player of the year front runner. I mean, he already has 500-plus receiving yards. He just went for 170 yards on 13 receptions this past week. He looks just absolutely dominant. And on the other hand, the Rams' defense also looked really good. Jared Verse has continued to look really good this year. Byron Young has continued to look really good this year. Brandon Fisk played very well. Kobe Turner played very well. They have a lot of young talent on that D-line and coming off the edge and at linebacker and at DB. I mean, that Rams defense is young. And I think this could be Matt Stafford's last year. I think the Rams have a real shot at winning the NFC this year. I know they lost to the Eagles last week, but I think they have a real shot at coming out of the NFC this year. And in my opinion, as of right now, they're the best team in the NFC, even though they lost to the Eagles. I don't know, though. And with the Colts, on the other hand, I mean, can we talk about A.D. Mitchell? I mean, come on, you catch what should be a 75-yard touchdown pass, and you drop the ball going into the end zone. Then later in the game, you make another crucial mistake. I mean, yes, he had 96 receiving yards, but come on. I mean,
he had 75 on a drop.
I know.
He fumbled in 75 yards.
That's unacceptable. I mean, he single-handedly lost in the game with his mistakes that game. I hope that he learned his lesson. But that's the type of thing that can really – you can lose the trust from your teammates, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes. But Daniel Jones played another solid game. He did throw a couple late interceptions, which was kind of disappointing to see. But he's looked like a really capable quarterback. And I am really, really excited to see the Jags battle out the Colts in that AFC South division. I think both teams are very good. And I think it's going to be a dogfight for that number one spot in the AFC South.
I'm very excited to see how the Colts bounce back from this game. They lost in the last play of the game. Well, not the last play of the game. They lost with 1:30 left. 88-yard touchdown, Tutu Atwell. Shout out. Great. I mean, broken coverage. The guy tripped, but Stafford found his guy. And you're not catching Tutu Atwell once he catches the ball in open space like that. Cameron Curl sealed the game with that late interception. It wasn't a bad game from Daniel Jones. It was just bad overall performance. I mean, the Rams D-line looked elite that game. And I know the Colts are supposed to have one of the best O-lines. And that was kind of shiny to see what Jared Verse and Brandon Fisk did to them. 29 of 41, 375 yards and 3 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford, wow. That's his 50th career fourth quarter comeback victory. He played just like with Calvin. I don't even want to compare that. The Colts, they lost. They were just hurt by that fumble, and you can't do anything about it now. You just have to hold on to the ball when you're in an end zone. That's a new thing they invented for the NFL, is the ball's to cross the plane. You can't just, you know, drop whatever you want. So let's hope Adonai Mitchell learned that.
100%. And now I know that I was just talking about the Jags. We had the Jacksonville Jaguars traveling to San Francisco to play the 49ers in what was a great game. Jacksonville definitely won this game by a lot more than the score shows. The game wasn't close. I've been really pleasantly surprised and very excited with this Jags team thus far. Like I said, I think it's going to be a battle for the AFC South. Liam Cohen is proving to be a really capable head coach. Trevor Lawrence did what he needed to do on Sunday. Nothing that pops off the stat sheet, but, you know, Travis Etienne has continued to just look revitalized and rejuvenated this year. I mean, there were questions about, you know, him still being a capable NFL running back after last year. I mean, he's just really flipped the narrative this year. I still want to see them get the ball to Brian Thomas a little bit more. I mean, 49 yards isn't much. And I do want to shout out the Jags defense. It has looked really, really good so far. Really good. I've been really impressed with Tyson Campbell, the fifth-year cornerback out of Georgia. He's been really, really impressive thus far. In San Francisco, on the other hand, I think, like Brett said earlier, San Francisco has looked like the worst team in the NFC West thus far, in my opinion. I'm not really seeing it. Brock Purdy hasn't looked very good in the games that he's played. Arguably, Mac Jones looked better. I mean, Brock Purdy threw 2 picks, 52 QBR. Nothing really exciting from him. I mean, his leading receiver was his running back. I mean, I think part of it is, like, they don't have Brandon Ayuk, who's, like, their true number one guy. Ricky Purcell, he's good, but he's not all that. I don't think it's necessarily time to panic on the 49ers, but I'd really like to see them compete a little bit more for this NFC West. I know that they are 3-1, but I think that they have played just some easier opponents. And, yeah, I think that this was a great win for the Jags and a great step towards their hopeful journey to take the AFC South.
We talked about the NFC West. We can talk about Jacksonville for a second. That 87-yard punt return touchdown. There's a lot of punt return touchdowns this week. It was a lot of fun. Parker Washington, shout out. Great return. Crazy play. Flipped the game for them because it started to get a little scary at the moment when they were losing some momentum. That brought all their momentum back. The Jags had 4 takeaways this game. 2 picks by Brock Purdy, 2 fumbles. When a fullback is up there for one of your leading receivers in an offense, That's how you know you're struggling offensively. Juszczyk had 3 catches for 32 yards, and he was, like, the 4th leading receiver on the team. I don't know what their plan is with Ricky Pearsall. I don't think he's that good at all. I don't think he was worth a first-round pick. I think he got drafted because he had one crazy catch in Florida, and that was it. Liam Cohen and Robert Saleh had to be separated after the game from heated comments post-game. That was interesting to see. I'm pretty sure he accused Liam Cohen of legally sign-stealing. So I don't know what he's complaining about. Robert Saleh's just picking a fight, I guess. He's mad they lost. Special teams and turnovers won Jacksonville the game. It should be interesting to see how the Colts and Jacksonville play.
100%. And now moving on to what was a bit of a surprising game. We had the Chiefs absolutely blowing out the Baltimore Ravens. That looked like the Chiefs. I mean, Patrick Mahomes played a phenomenal game, and I mean phenomenal game. I think it's really going to be between him and Matthew Stafford for Player of the Week. Xavier Worthy, getting him back seemed to be just a huge boost for that Chiefs offense. I mean, he was their leading receiver. Travis Kelce played okay. Hollywood Brown played a pretty good game. I think, really, Xavier Worthy could be the spark that the Chiefs needed.
He was their leading rusher, too.
Yeah, he was. And that does actually highlight that I am a little bit concerned about Isaiah Pacheco. He just hasn't looked very good this year. I mean, Kareem Hunt's been getting more carries than him. I don't think it was time to panic on the Chiefs after they started, 0-2 or whatever. You know, they're up to 2-2 now. They've got some easier games coming up. I'm not worried about the Chiefs. I think that they'll make the playoffs. Baltimore, at the end of the day, they have played the Bills, Lions, and Chiefs in the first 4 weeks. I mean, they could be maybe just a little bit fatigued coming off of that Monday night, coming off the short week against the Lions, playing on Monday night. I don't think it's time to panic. I am worried about the hamstring injury with Lamar. That can really linger and can limit his, dual threat capabilities. But I don't think it's time to panic on the Ravens, I think that they'll find a way. But I was a little bit worried as well with the Ravens' defense, especially their defensive backs. I mean, Malachi Starks and Kyle Hamilton seem to be a really promising duo coming into this year, and, I mean, they haven't accomplished much this year. Kyle Hamilton actually did not play very well on Sunday, unfortunately. I'd love to see him play better. With the way that the Ravens played this game, it's no surprise that the Chiefs won, and I think that the Chiefs are going to continue to be a contender this year.
This is like what 2022 looked like. This is what the Chiefs look like. I don't think the Chiefs are a playoff team. I don't. I think the Ravens didn't have a defense this game. I think the Ravens went away from what was working. I think maybe Derrick Henry has lost a step, and I don't know that he's went downhill from last year. But, I mean, 8 carries for 42 yards, that's all he's getting. He's getting 8 carries, and he averaged 5 yards a carry on that. So I don't know if he has lost a step, but Kansas City was efficient. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, 4 passing touchdowns, 25-37, 270 yards. They went 4-for-4 on 4th down conversions, 0 turnovers, and had very few penalties. Lamar is the big key with Ravens. I mean, you could tell Cooper Rush just looked terrible. So if Lamar's out for another 2 weeks, the Ravens are not making the playoffs, and there'll be a new team atop the NFC North or AFC North, and I would not be surprised to see that team be the Steelers. I don't think the Bengals are going to be in it. They don't have Joe Burrow, and I don't think the Browns are going to be in it because of the Browns. So I expect the Steelers, if they keep on playing well, that they're winning the AFC North this year. If Lamar's out for the next two, three games, and it won't go well for them. This was a clean, efficient game by the Chiefs. And the Ravens might have to trade for a quarterback because Cooper Rush is not the guy. Mm-hmm. They could try to trade for Joe Milton for the Cowboys. I feel like that could be a little scheme fit, maybe. He didn't look good in the preseason, though. I don't know if they're going to have to go after quarterback or just stick with Cooper
100%.
Rush.
I'm just interested to see if Lamar will actually miss any significant time, which I think there's definitely a risk for the hamstring injury. And even if he is playing, he's going to be limited. So now moving on to one of our last games of Sunday, we had the Chicago Bears traveling to Las Vegas. And what was a very close game until the end. The game ended on the Bears blocking that potential game-winning field goal for the Raiders. I want to talk about Ashton Jeanty first. I mean, that was what we wanted to see preseason, almost 150 total yards. Or he actually did have 150 total yards. Three touchdowns. He put up almost 40 fantasy points. I mean, that was absolutely awesome to see. I think that we're really finally seeing that Vegas is realizing the dogs that they've got in the run game. You know, Raheem Mostert played a great game, too. And it was nice to not see Geno Smith throw the ball 50 times in a game for once this year.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he has not looked great this year. I mean, even on 21 attempts this game, he threw three picks. I mean, he's made some really errant throws this year, which I've been disappointed with. Vegas' defense as well hasn't looked great. Tyree Wilson, he's playing all right. I mean, he still hasn't lived up to that seventh pick potential from a couple years ago, but it's whatever. Brock Bowers, he's continuing to be the leading receiver for Vegas. I'd like to see them get the ball to Jacoby Myers a little bit more. And the Bears, on the other hand, I mean, they played all right, nothing great. I mean, they did manage to capitalize off of those three interceptions, which I think was big. Caleb Williams played a very lackluster game, in my opinion. The Bears on the ground continue to not really look like they have much of a run game. Roma Dunze continues to look like he's their number one guy this year. I was a little bit disappointed to see Luther Burden go for negative 4 yards after his 100-yard performance last week. And then the Bears' defense has continued to – I mean, they haven't looked very good. They had zero sacks this week. I think that they did really capitalize off of some really bad throws from Geno Smith, which made their defense maybe look good on paper, but they did not play well on defense. And I'm still pretty worried about the Bears. They just – other than that game last week, I mean, they just have not looked great this year. So, yeah.
I think this shows back to last year in the college football world. This should show that Ashton Jeffery should have won the Heisman last year. I need to talk about this with the Jags, and I forgot about it. Travis Hunter, he's not doing anything for the Jags. He's not performing offensively, defensively. He's playing very, very few snaps defensively, and I think that he has realized, and so has the Jags, that playing both ways in the NFL does not work the way he wanted to, and he needs to step it up and play one position and not play two, because it's not looking good for him. And this also shows how Ashton Jeffery was the better college football player last year, and that he should have won the Heisman. This game was a good stepping stone to that for trying to get in contention for Offensive Rookie of the Year, which Emeka Egbuka has on lock right now. Geno Smith was a travesty, almost cost him the game. Pete Carroll has to have a long conversation with him and work everything that he's struggling with out, because you cannot throw three picks in a game and win every game. The Bears could not run the ball in the first half, and the Raiders were just eating. A minute 34 left in the game, the Chicago took their first lead with DeAndre Swift, and then the Raiders marched down the field. They have a game-winning field goal, 54-yarder, blocked, 33 seconds remaining, and the Bears win the game. I mean, Max Crosby had a monster game. Roma Dunze had great games. And Kevin Byard, I mean, it's not crazy that he got two. I mean, it's not a crazy game, but he was just gifted two picks by Geno Smith. This is a good road win. It's a good win for the Bears, but it doesn't mean a lot, I don't think. I don't think the Raiders are that team that's like, oh, yes, we're now good.
100%. And now moving on to Sunday Night Football, and, you know, you never want to see a tie. We had the Packers playing the Cowboys. I mean, it was obviously very disappointing to see that game end in a tie because of just how good of a game it was. I do want to highlight the Cowboys' defense has continued to just not look great. You know, letting Jordan Love throw for 350 yards, three touchdowns. He did not have very minimal pressure on him. Josh Jacobs also had a great game on the ground, going for almost 100 yards and two touchdowns.
Don't worry, cause the Cowboys can stop the run with their new D-tackle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. But, yeah, the Packers, I just don't understand the Packers' defense the past couple weeks. I mean, yeah. It had looked so good the first 2 weeks, and I don't know. I mean, I remember just after that game against the Lions, and either it was week one or week two. I think it was week one.
Shut them down.
They just absolutely shut the Lions down. I remember thinking, like, this is going to be a elite unit after that. And the past 2 weeks, it just has not looked like that. And the Cowboys, on the other hand, they've really flourished on offense the past couple weeks.
Lead the NFL in offense, and also lead the NFL last in defense.
I think Dak's really being slept on this year. I think he's playing one of the best years of his career. I mean, they put up 40 points without CeeDee Lamb. George Pickens really stepped up. He really stepped up. He played an amazing game. And can I talk about that catch at the goal line that they ruled incomplete? That was a catch, in my opinion.
Oh, come on.
And, yeah, the Cowboys' defense, obviously, when you're giving up 40 points, it isn't a great game. They really were not getting much pressure off the edge, you know. Their only sack was from James Houston, who's, like, 50 years old. So, obviously, not much defense was played this game. It was a great game, but you hate to see a tie in the NFL. I don't think ties should exist. You know, they screw up the standings. No one wants a tie.
It looks bad for the record. 1-2-1 for the Cowboys. And then the Packers are 2-1-1. It just doesn't look good. No one likes that look.
Ties just shouldn't be a thing.
Dak Prescott, I'm excited. I want to see some wins, and then he can maybe be in the MVP conversation. I feel like he's playing at that big of a elite level. Romeo Dobbs was embarrassing De'Aaron Bland the whole night. That was just sad to watch, especially when you pay a guy $92 million to allow 3 touchdowns. Micah Parsons didn't do anything. He had a sack, I guess you could say. A zero-yard sack that saved a touchdown. I'd say that's more just a tackle, but you can give it to him, I guess. This defense is the worst defense in the league. Every single game they play, whatever quarterback they're playing, you hope you don't play against them in fantasy because you know they're going to go for 30. I don't know what to say. Eberflus, bye-bye. I mean, this is 40 points. You can't allow 40 points in the NFL and win games, especially when you're scoring 40 points without three starting linemen and your starting receiver.
All right, now moving on to the first of two Monday Night Football games. We had a doubleheader last night. We had the defeated Jets traveling to play the defeated Dolphins. And I think Tua played a really nice game this game. Obviously, you know, Tyreek went down with that injury pretty early, did not look good. It's been confirmed that he dislocated his knee. He also tore his ACL and his MCL, so that's the type of injury that could potentially be, you know, career-ending. They said it's unlikely that he'll even be ready for next season, so we'll see. It just didn't look very good. Prayers go out to Tyreek for that. The Dolphins' defense, they looked pretty good. I want to shout out Matthew Judon, a guy they picked up in free agency from the he was on the Falcons last year. He's gotten a lot of pressure. His stats aren't really popping off the stat sheet this year, but he's gotten a lot of nice pressure off the edge for the Dolphins. I think that's something that's been pretty exciting to see. The Jets, on the other hand, I mean, Justin Fields, he's looked like a capable quarterback this year. It's just they just haven't been able to pull off any wins. The Jets defense, I just don't understand, has not looked good this year. You know, maybe Saleh and Ulbrich were that valuable after all. Maybe it was just the coaching and not the players. Who knows? So it's definitely interesting to see. I'm hoping that the Jets defense can step up in some way. But, you know, they've kind of dug themselves in a pretty deep hole at 0-4. They're one of a few 0-4 teams in the NFL. It's pretty disappointing to see because after week one, I really was kind of high on the Jets. I thought that they had the potential to really be kind of a force in that AFC East division. But, yeah, the Jets have looked like garbage since, so.
Yeah, that first week against the Steelers, that game was exciting, it was fun, and then it's been a travesty. It has been embarrassment by the Jets. Jordan Brooks for Miami had 15 solo tackles and 18 total tackles, which was, I guess, a crazy game for him. New York had 3 turnovers and a fumble at the goal line. That is the worst thing you can do at the goal line is fumble. Braylon Allen, I think he got hurt later. We'll see how he does with his injury. He lost the game, I guess. Not really. I think the Jets lost the game overall. I mean, but the score would be 28-27 if that touchdown goes that way. Tua threw 2 touchdowns. Darren Waller caught them, both of them. I don't think either one of them are that good. I don't think Tua is that good, and Darren Waller is old. So we'll see how this plays out for the rest of Miami. It's a good win, but it doesn't really mean a lot. Justin Fields almost came back, returning from a concussion, 43-yard rushing touchdown, and a 23-yard touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson. Spectacular. Tyreek, I think his career might be done. It was fun while it lasted. I don't think he'll be nearly as explosive if he does come back. So
100%. I mean, when you're a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver and you have an injury like that, I mean, it's super tough to come back from, so that obviously sucks for him, but, I mean, it is what it is. And now moving on to the second of two games on the Monday Night Football doubleheader, we had the Cincinnati Bengals traveling to the Denver Broncos. And I think what I really saw with the Bengals this game is Jake Brown, or I guess maybe the coach was trying their hardest to keep Jake Brown from throwing those picks that he throws every game. But they just didn't let him throw it at all, basically. I mean, they let him throw just a lot of checkdowns, you know. They didn't really let him get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, which I think was really disappointing. That was kind of the main thing I talked about last week, was like they've got to let him get the ball to Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, that's going to be the X factor in this game, and they just didn't for some reason. I think that's on the coaching staff. I don't think that's on Jake Browning. And the Broncos, on the other hand, Bo Nix, he played a great game. He did throw that pick, but it wasn't entirely his fault. J.K. Dobbins has continued to look really good on the ground for them, you know. It's been a nice story to see him having the season that he's having thus far. And Denver's receiving core has looked pretty good thus far, too, with Cortland Sutton, Marvin Mims, and Troy Franklin all having 50-plus yards. I would like to see them get the ball to Evan Engram a little bit more. I don't think he's really looked like the same player thus far that he was in Jacksonville the past few years, but I'd still like them to get him the ball a little bit more. Denver's defense, on the other hand, has looked just phenomenal so far this year. That front continues to look really good. I talked about Nick Benito being the X factor for the Broncos coming into this game, and guess what? Nick Benito had a sack and a half, two quarterback hits, so not really surprised with that at all. And Patrick Surtain, I do want to shout him out. He locked down Ja'Marr Chase. I know that I just talked about how maybe it was on Jake Browning not getting the ball to him, but I mean, Patrick Surtain did do a nice job of really locking down both Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins at times during that game. So, yeah, shout out to him and shout out to the Denver Broncos defense. They won them this game in a game that was not close at all.
This is the most embarrassing game from a team that's supposed to be good with the Bengals. Not anymore, I guess. I mean, Joe Burrow's gone with his injury for 3 months. So there's no way that he's going to be playing in 3 months because why would you play two games to go maybe win them and worsen your draft pick. Bo Nix, he's looking like a dog. 226 passing yards, two touchdowns, and 29 of 42. J.K. Dobbins, 101 yards and 16 carries. That's their first 100-yard, Broncos' first 100-yard rusher in the past 38 games. 159 yards of offense for the Bengals total. And yeah, Jake Browning got sacked three times. They need to step up the Bengals online. I mean, Caden Proctor has got to go to the Bengals next year because this is terrible. I mean, I don't understand what their game plan was either. Jake Browning throws a lot of picks, but I mean, he can get it to those guys. He can get it to Joe. He can get it to Ja'Marr, and he can get it to T. Higgins, just like Joe Burrow can. Not as good, but I mean, when you let him just like check it down every time for 5 yards, the defense is going to adjust and just. I mean, it was embarrassing. I don't know what to say about this game.
100%, and that'll do it for our game recaps. We're going to do a few quick awards. We're going to do Offensive Player of the Week, Defensive Player of the Week, and Team of the Week. To start it off, I'm going to give Offensive Player of the Week to Matthew Stafford. I think it was really close for me between. I kind of had a three-man race between Stafford, Mahomes, and Michael Penix, but I think I'm going to have to give it to Stafford at the end of the day. He played a phenomenal game. He got the ball to Puka. He had almost 350 passing yards. I mean, he played a phenomenal game. Defensive Player of the Week, I'm going to give to Devin Lloyd, the linebacker for the Jags. He had two crucial interceptions on Brock Purdy that were really, I mean, he was amazing in coverage for the Jaguars. He didn't win them that game because they would have won the game either way, but he really helped that team that game, and he proved that he's an elite coverage linebacker. And then Team of the Week, I think I'm going to have to give to the Denver Broncos. I mean, they looked dominant last night, so it was really close for me between the New England Patriots and the Denver Broncos, but I'm going to go with the Broncos.
Offensive Player of the Week, let me go George Pickens, carrying the Cowboys offense to a tie. But great game from him. Defensive Player of the Week, Jordan Brooks, 18 total tackles, 15 solo with a key win over the Jets. And then Team of the Week, I'm going to split with the Broncos defense and the Cowboys offense. You put up 40 points without with your starting receiver and three starting linemen. That's crazy. And then the Broncos dismantled the Bengals. So, yeah.
So, yeah. And that'll do it for Episode 5 of No Flags, No Filter. We will be back next Tuesday with another episode. I'm your host, Juan Masucci.
I'm Brett Jenks.
And thank you for joining us today.